I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff, the podcast that celebrates those who live, love, and breathe rock and roll.
From the incredible groupies, girlfriends, and wives who went after what and who they wanted,
to the journalists, photographers, and other behind-the-scenes characters who play such an important part in rock and roll history.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
This episode is brought to you by Electrified Porcupine,
bringing you the best in collectibles, movies, music, wrestling, gaming, and more. Check it out at electrifiedporcupine.com.
Hey there, this is Christian Swain from the Rock and Roll Archaeology Project. Rock and Roll Archaeology? What's that you say? We are a podcast network dedicated to digging deep into the amazing music that exploded out of the second half of the 20th century. We believe the music, culture, and technology wove together, and it is an important story of history as, say, the Italian Renaissance or the Impressionists of Paris. We have 6 shows, all with a different side of this incredible time. Rock Talk with myself and host Peter Farioli. Real Rock, and that's R-E-E-L, hosted by Andy King. Vinyl Snob with the legendary Dave Whitaker. Rock and Roll Librarian with the headmistress herself, Shelley Sorensen. Deeper Digs in Rock, where I interview famous rock and roll personalities and the people who scribe the times and events. And finally, our full telling of the history of rock and roll, the Rock and Roll Archaeology Podcast, which started it all. Find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So let's get back to Between the Sheets of Rock and Roll with Shanti and Lynx. And Muses and Stuff.
I don't know.
Hey, everyone. We've got a great show for you today. It's our first interview of the new year, and we couldn't have asked for a better guest. This week, we talked to Avery Florence, a Toronto-based artist. Avery's EP, January, which was recorded live off the floor, was released earlier this year, in January. And let me tell you, it is so good. When Avery walked in to record, Lynx and I knew right away that this would lead to a great friendship. In this episode, we talk about getting back to your inner child, women feeling confident and taking on leadership roles, the magic and fun of house parties, and how we all have to host one together, what it means to follow your philosophy, and why she considers herself a fangirl. Avery came armed with her keyboard and in the Muses and Stuff first performed a song for us at the end of the episode. You can see the music video for the song, and this is the music video that we talk a lot about during the episode, Woke Up This Morning, which is on YouTube. You can find all of Avery's music on Spotify, on iTunes, or her website, or like she said, just send her a message, and she'll send you some of her songs. I read a comment under her video that said, "This woman is absolute dynamite. I have a tendency to find up-and-comers before they blow up, and I'm putting all my money on Avery Florence." So are we. She is definitely one to watch. You can see Avery at the Dakota Tavern on April 4th. I'll be there, Lynx will be there, and we would love to see you there too. Enjoy the show. So we are sitting here today with Avery Florence.
Thanks for having me.
And this is really lovely because when somebody comes to your house for the first time to record an episode, you never know what they're going to be like. I mean, you can have a vibe of who they are based on the music that you put on online. We checked out your videos and listened to your music.
Thanks.
But yay. I think that this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Me too. So happy I live right near you guys too.
Yeah, perfect. It's perfect.
We live in the same neighborhood.
So, Vegheads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Veghead, the unofficial sponsor yeah, exactly. for this episode. Actually, this neighborhood was voted like best, like most populated musicians in the world or something.
Really?
Yeah. I would have to look up exactly what study it was, but like it was a legit thing that
this
like
is actually Shanti's personal study.
This is my personal study.
Leaving your door unlocked, like musicians welcome.
Exactly.
No, my favorite bars to perform at are in this area. Like I love the Dakota Tavern and Painted Lady.
Oh, I love the Dakota, and I walk by the Painted Lady all the time, but I've never actually walked in there before.
It's cool. The Dakota have a show April 4th.
Oh, perfect.
I'll be there.
Okay, yeah, it's my favorite. It just feels like a hometown bar. Even though I'm from Toronto, it feels like I was returning to like a small town, you know?
Wonderful. So that kind of brings us to our first question. And so you are based out of Toronto. You lived in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So just introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
Okay. So my name is Avery Florence. Grew up, like born and raised Toronto. And actually, I didn't get into music until just about like 6 years ago. When I was doing my undergrad in business at Dalhousie, and I just felt like very unfulfilled by it, and I was just kind of bored. So someone was like, you know how everybody has like guitar on their list? So I was like, oh, I'm going to like try to play guitar. And then within 2 weeks, I just started writing songs. And I would like perform them to my roommates, and they would like, I'd make them close their eyes and they would like applause for me. Aww. And then just from there, it just became like more of like a passion to start performing. And then about 2 years ago, I decided like, okay, I'm going to like come out as like Avery Florence and start performing. And Montreal, I've always had this like crush on. And then last year when you get like a seed of an idea and then it really like you put it on the universe and then it happens. Mm-hmm. Now, like I feel like just stuff is happening.
An inspired thought is what we call that.
And yeah, totally. And like when I'm there, I get the, like so much more of that. So I lived there for a few months this year, and now like really things are happening. Like I'm performing my first festival out there in the summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited. Feist is on it too.
Nice.
I'm excited.
That's so incredible that it is like a passion that came to you kind of later. Usually you hear like, oh, I started writing when I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's nice. Reminder, like it's never too late to like discover new things and, you know, see where they can take you.
Exactly. And I try to do that. Like anything that makes you a little bit curious, like you could unbury like so many more passions in your life. So like, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Here you go, Lynx.
All right. Well, I was going to ask you what was that formidable music moment that you had, but you just kind of told us. So how about you tell us a little bit about what kind of music you loved growing up and where you sort of came from in cool. that.
Like, when did you discover that you had a voice?
Yeah. Right.
Like, as girl, you got a voice.
Yeah, thank you. I know. It's like, now I love singing. It's like my favorite thing to do, obviously. When I was little, I was into it. You know, like when you go through life, you're like trying to get back to like where you were.
100%.
You know?
Yes.
I feel like I lost myself from the ages of like 8 to like now.
Yes. High yeah. school did that for me. I don't know who I was in high school, and it's
yeah.
Fuck yes.
I think for me, it was like I moved schools a lot, and like I didn't like really love. I think when I was younger, I like, I thought I was a lion, like literally. I would like roar instead of talking. Like I was very much like, I didn't even need like friends really. I was very just like independent and like sort of like a leader. And then I just like lost that for like a long time. I know that. I hope that doesn't sound.
You're answering all of our questions.
Really?
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh yeah. I love it. Keep going.
Okay, great. Like literally, the nursery center turned, or like where they made Barbies, that turned into like a jungle. That's like my claim to fame. But then I stopped for a long time. I think just switching schools like kind of took away like a lot of my confidence, and just like, yeah. So then finding music again at like 21, just even being like made me able to talk about things that I never was able to talk about, like things like everybody, like a parent's divorce or like a bad breakup or just your own feelings. So that's been like, my music is inspired by like my emotions and like how I perceive the world. Yeah, but listening to music, I guess. I grew up, my dad's favorite songs are like Women in Songs 1 through 7. You can have him in next. Amazing. And then I got really into, very classic, like got into Pink Floyd in university. But I really like everything. Like I love new, old, like really, like I wouldn't say like I don't like one genre.
Yeah. I like, you sort of found a new way to like roar, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible the amount of, the kind of confidence that children have. And so I've been saying this for a long time, just finding that spirit of that little girl who is 8 years old. How did she see herself? What did she see for herself?
Yeah.
And I've never felt closer to that than I have, like, you know, in the past, say, 10, 15 years. So it's really nice to see that.
I like that phrasing of that.
Yeah.
So like, just get back into like, it feels like a different life, but it was your life. So it's like almost before you became too much of a conscience being like, what were you?
Totally.
Yeah, you really could become, like, detached from your, like, old self at some weird point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the reason why we laughed really hard was when you said this word leader was because I before I even read that word associated with your name, I went, man, like, she seems like a real leader.
Cool.
So it was when I was reading about what you do at the Dakota Tavern, which we'd like you to expand on a little bit more, how you organized house shows, things like that. I went, man, like, what a leader. I wonder if she's always been like that. And then I actually read something that said that, and then you said it. So I really love that you have that like confidence in yourself. And so I was just wondering, were you always like that? Were you always a little lion? But you answered it. You yeah. are. And that's so cool. And where did you learn that? Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I'm the baby. I have 2 siblings. I wouldn't say I was always, though. Or, like, even if I appeared that way, I didn't feel that way. And I still definitely go back and forth with that. But I found, like, with music, it's something that I... Like, it's hard to find things that you consistently believe in and, like, something about music, like, is the closest thing to me for, like, fate and magic and, like, all those words. Because I wouldn't say I'm, like, I mean, I'm spiritual, but I don't believe in, like, fate or things happen for a reason. I wish I did, because I think it'd make more sense of some things. but music has enabled me to, like, step into myself. Like, recording my album was, like, the most just, like, peacefully confident I've ever felt. Like, I didn't feel like I had to force it, or like I was being a jerk, or I felt embarrassed or guilty. Like, I just, it was very natural, like a natural leader. And that's how I feel when it comes to music.
And that's beautiful. And like, so when you were recording, you must have felt like I deserve this. I deserve to be here. And I think that can be kind of a problem with especially women sometimes, like owning the space and just really taking, you know, like having the confidence that I deserve to be here just as much as or more as anybody else. So that's really fantastic to hear that.
Because it can be scary. Like, because I was recording with musicians that were super experienced. Like, I've been musicians since they were 8 years old. Mm. And just like even just the way they can articulate is so like I'll be like, can you play angelic keys or not be able to really like give an example of a reference right off the top of my head. But everybody comes at everything from their own life. Like even the fact sometimes I'm like, oh, like, do I deserve to do this? Like I've only been at it for a few years when some people have been at it for so much longer than me. But it's like everybody's been through their life doing other things, you know, and like their struggles and finding their path. So I try to kind of like remember that. So when I stepped into the studio, like, yes, that's an amazing drummer, amazing guitarist, but these are my songs and this is like, they are already written. Like, we just need to make them come to life.
Yeah.
You know?
And music is such a, like, or it should be a great kind of collaboration with, like, so many different people who are passionate about, like, their specific role in that. And, yeah, I mean, there is a leader, of course, and they're your songs, but... It's about like learning from others at the same time and them learning from you. And
it's such a, that's why I really loved making this album, because so much of the work of like, I guess a lot, if you're an entrepreneur or anything, it's so much of it is solo. So it was so refreshing to really make this album like together, because we practiced for 2 days and then we just all went into the studio and it really just felt like a group thing. Like everybody's passionate about it, and you can like just I think you can really hear that in the music.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything alone. Like today actually I was thinking about the word network, and like it's like a net, like you, there's nobody in there that like is solo, or like, because sometimes you feel like you're trying to climb to the top, or like, and it feels like social climber ish but like at the same time it's like everybody needs each other, and like you're just kind of finding your way to like find that person that you like you connect with, and like that is going to help you like fulfill whatever you want to.
Ah, oh, that's so good. Yeah, you got to be a team player to, like, get anywhere, too.
For sure. And it can be, that can be hard. But if you find the right team, then it's, like, then it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to answer this question?
Yeah, just about, like, the Dakota and about house shows and about, like, the other things that you're involved with when you're not recording albums. And just, like, yeah, like, going from busking to house shows and what do you, like, all of that
That's
stuff.
That's the best.
Jam on that.
That's the best. Busking was my first time busking in Montreal this summer. And like it's played out actually so nicely, because I just went on tour, and when I was in Montreal, I played with people that I met busking and who aren't like, we're actually going to record another EP in a couple months. But the Dakota started, I actually was really inspired by, do you know Jason Collette? He's a songwriter. Yeah, mm-hmm. So he does this thing called the Basement Review. And I was doing the door at the Dakota, kind of like to get into the Dakota. Yeah. Like, I feel like I tricked them, but
it's how you do it.
No, yeah.
No, no, that's how you do it.
I feel like I tricked them, because I asked for January 2nd, which is like a lame night, but it's my birthday, so I was able to bring out a lot of people. And it just seemed like I was like super like a popular musician. But anyway, so then they gave me a monthly, and I wanted it to be like sort of just a way for me to reach out to musicians that I like in the city and then collaborate with them. So every month I would have different musicians, and like we would collaborate on a couple songs and then showcase them, and then they would bring their audience out, I bring my audience out, and just like, it's really fun. We always would go to there's like a little back room, and we do like a little warm up, and just like, I love it there. It just feels very like community there.
Yeah.
Like it was just as much like the performers, but like, and the audience, like you need, it's all symbiotic. Like you need that vibe.
Do you have like a list of Toronto artists that like you hope to maybe like reach out to later?
And, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I think it just works for everybody, because everyone's looking for a community.
And what was busking like? Like, how do you get the nerve to, like, go out there? And it's, like, a different environment. I mean, you go to a bar and a show, like, people expect to hear music. It's a mm-hmm. little different when you're, like, trying to perform for people who are, like, going about their day.
I know. But there's something so, like, anonymous about it. Like, especially, I would have more trouble, I think, doing it in Toronto, where, like, I could run into, like, my uncle's friend or something, you know? It just... And I also feel like in Montreal and a lot of other places, busking is, like, it's not as, like, looked down upon.
Yeah. I agree. I was in England this summer with my friend Simeon, and she was all over Camden Town busking, and she brought me all over London, and you get a license to do it, and they give you a little carpet to stand on, and people enjoy it, and they like it. And I feel sometimes in Toronto, like, buskers are kind of seen like a nuisance, or like, oh, poor them, like, they need to beg for the money, or, you know, and it's like, it's not that at all. It's actually just another kind of exchange. We're outside, we're playing music, like, it's...
Yeah, don't you love that?
Definitely a different feel.
Yeah. And sometimes I see it in Toronto. Like, I was just in Kensington a few days ago. I'm like, and it felt like spring.
That's the one.
And there's a guy just like, he had these beats and he was playing saxophone. And it just like, it added so much to like the experience of just like walking down the street.
For sure. It's like adding a soundtrack to your day. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like walking in a movie, your own movie.
Yeah. It's really cool. And what I would do though, I would give myself like a pep talk before I would busk. Like, I'd literally open up my arms as wide as I could and be like, I'm here to, like, give, because that's the only way you receive, like, and everybody's looking, obviously, to receive. You can't just, like, give and give. And actually, Chris Martin, I went to go see Coldplay a few months ago, and he's my inspiration for performing now. Like, he gave, because you're looking at him, you're like, you are the luckiest dude ever. Like, there's 80,000 people here who are, like, here to see you. But he was giving so much, and I was like, whoa, like, that's amazing. He really, like, took over the energy in there.
I saw Coldplay, when did I see them? In like maybe 2010 or something. And it was such an incredible show. Like, I love Coldplay's first like 4 albums. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe even 5. So I was a big fan of them. And then all of a sudden I was just like, they're too commercial.
Right.
And then I totally gave up on them. But you know what? Like, I should go back and give them another
Because that's how I felt
again.
Even going to the concert. I was like, is this going to be, I should have gone to the Viva La Vida tour like before that.
Yeah.
But I actually loved
listening at Viva La Vida.
Yeah. But they're, like, their new stuff, if you hear it live, like, it just makes sense. Like, they're really just trying to, like, bring hope to people. And, like, I have goosebumps thinking about that show. Like, and I also think that they have a bad rep just for being commercial. But if you, like, if nobody heard of Coldplay, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, you have to hear of Coldplay.
Like, they got less, like, their musicianship went down ever since they started trying to appeal to, like, honestly, like, all of the stuff has been through my head and I've just shit on them for a while. So I think, okay,
it's hard not to.
You inspired me. I'll go back.
Go back.
It's weird how, like, in general, people tend to start to look down on bands the more success they get. Like, it's their fault that people are enjoying their music somehow.
Yeah. But I catch myself doing it all the time.
Yeah, it's like something everyone does. It's a strange...
Yeah.
Like, when you think about, like, what's behind that, that's an interesting thing.
It's crazy. And, like, that's what scares me. It's like, you can reach hopefully you do reach, like, a level of success, but, like, that can just be... People, like, want to claw you down. Like, like, it's like lobsters, you know? Like, they're all, like, trying to get to the top. Like, they're trying to, like, bring you down.
And, like, what amount of success is, like, good, and then what amount is, like, too much.
Yeah,
you know?
It's even like Justin Timberlake I didn't even watch it, but like that people were just like shitting on his performance, like NSYNC didn't come out, all this stuff. It's just like, oh my God, it's Justin Timberlake. Like, could you do the Super Bowl 3 times? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, you know?
Yeah, I think with Coldplay, it was just like, I really was listening to them when I was 15 years old. Mm. And that's such a weird and important part in your life. And I think that I was especially sensitive then. And so their music really affected me and always did. And I've just never, like, after the first 3 albums, nothing just touched me, like, from them that I've ever heard. And then just hearing things on the radio. And then I think because when that mindset just goes there and you just, like, perpetuate it more, I was just watering those seeds. And then that's what was growing, was a bit of a negativity towards them.
I felt like that before, so, I saw them even.
You know what? I'll rethink that.
Yeah. I try to be really careful with that. Like, because you can really so easily shit on, like, pop stars or all this stuff. But it's like, everybody is just, unless they're, like, really causing harm, like, everybody is just, like, you have to work so hard to get to that level.
And that's what we try to promote. We try to promote, like, no negativity. And anytime anybody writes, which isn't often, like, something negative about one of the people that we talked about in an episode, we'll, like, politely remind them that it's a, like, it's a space to build people up.
Right.
that was like a very direct stare.
No, I was thinking you're so good at like dealing with people too. You're just like, you're the one that's kind of like, we know that you are entitled to your opinion, but
we decline.
Say it elsewhere.
We're deleting this now. But we're all human. Like, we just have to all check ourselves all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, we all can grow in different ways.
Yeah. It's like we're always growing.
We are. I wanted to talk a little bit about your like DIY kind of shows.
Oh, yeah.
What's that like?
Well, we can have one right now.
Yeah.
About my keyboard.
It's when she shows up with her keyboard and is like...
just open unlocked doors.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, do you want me to play here? Well, do you guys play music?
I grew up playing the piano, so cool. I can read music.
Oh, nice.
I hated going to piano recitals. I can play the guitar. I can play a little bit of everything. Yeah. Not well.
That's
so I'm just, I got to a point in my life where I went, I'm just going to leave it up to the pros. I'm not, no. I'm
just going to listen and enjoy
guitar,
it.
I'm like,
talk
for
it. I'll talk about it.
But yeah, I don't think I could get up on a stage. At least at this point. I would have to like work a little extra.
But like, I was like, where was I going with that? But like my favorite shows, like I'm putting that in quotations, have been like on camping trips with my girlfriends or like singing a friend to sleep. You know, like, because for me, it's like they're closing their eyes. It's almost like I'm just a voice. There's nothing else like there. So I find house concerts, it's very like, what we're even talking about, just like, it depends on the audience and the artist too. It's like very much like everybody has to be feeling it.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about do-it-yourself concerts.
I was telling Shanti earlier, I have an old friend who I know has had really great success. He like travels Europe. He'll just like bike around or travel by train, I guess, and with his guitar, and he books shows
so cool.
like through people who just invite him to their house, and he stays there and he plays for like a group of people and their friends, and then he'll go to the next city, and
it's so cool.
Just like you get to like see Europe, and you get to meet people like in their home and have a party after, and
it's so cool.
Yeah,
it's the one thing that I like kind of regret it. Like I love my home, I do, but we can't have like. Could we have like a band in here? Because have you ever been to Peterborough and played in Peterborough?
No.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
I tried
community.
Actually.
You
know, when I went on tour, I tried, but they didn't get back to me.
Well, that's because because the Spill recently closed down, and that was the go-to spot for.
Paige tried to get in touch with the Garnet.
Yeah. I like the Garnet. I think it's a nice place for shows. I could definitely see you there. Why they wouldn't get back to you? Well, like that's kind of on them. Like that's
hello
that,
Peterborough.
That doesn't bode well for them. You know what I mean? Like they need some fresh, beautiful like talent in there, because I'm not going to say anything negative about them.
You could have a little concert in here though.
Okay, because when I lived in Peterborough, house shows were my favorite thing to host. We had them all the time. And so that's why it's like, no, we're not musicians, but we created the space and the environment to invite them in, to set them up. So, like, I lived in a full house with a bunch of girls that had a porch, two living rooms, a kitchen, and then an upstairs.
So, nice.
So in the first living room is where we had the band. Then the people would extend into the second living room and then even into the kitchen. And then we had the upstairs area.
That's so fun.
And then so we had some of the best times of my life have been at house shows. I would love to have one again.
Okay.
We should talk.
We will talk. Absolutely. Because it's like, this is what the struggle is with, I think, being in arts. It's like commerce versus like the art of it. And it's like hard to find the balance, because I want to make this like my career. Like I don't want it to just be a hobby, or else like I won't be able to play as much as I even don't. I'm pursuing it full time and I don't even have that much time to like play. So like I love the house concerts, because like the whole point for me is like music allows me to connect with myself. So then it's like a medium for everybody to connect in the room. And like someone said this to me recently, like why it's so important. It's obvious, but like our world is becoming so synthetic, and like even especially in Western world, like everybody has their own room, and like we're so separate and like individual. And it's so important to feel like just connected with everybody. And that's what you like. I think that's why you even go to concerts, or the best concerts are like when everybody's like moving together and like there's just this like indescribable energy. So that's like what I'm trying to do with my music.
That's amazing.
Yeah. If you reach like Coldplay level success,
my god, cool.
Would you still want to like throw in some house shows here and there?
Like I think for sure.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
We'll hold you to it.
Okay, cool. But that's why I thought Coldplay was really amazing, because even in that huge space, it felt like I like left, like I actually went with like my dad's new girlfriend at the time. We left like holding hands, like I became friends with like everybody around me. It was like just really special.
It does seem really positive. And so, yeah.
Mm. There's such an art to like when musicians can make huge concerts intimate. Like, it can be done. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Hope to get to that level.
Just keep going.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, guys.
When I was in Nepal a couple years ago at this time, I stayed at a place called the Art House of Kathmandu. And it was just my friend Mark, who's from Barrie. And he went to Kathmandu and he rented pretty much an entire house. And every room was filled with like at least one. I had my own room. But one or two kinds of artists or musicians. Pretty much everybody there was an artist, musician of some kind. And so they would have dinners once a week where everybody who was in attendance had to like perform one or two different things.
So cool.
And I honestly met some of the like best friends of my life there. And like, you know, Robin would paint outside and Mark kind of did everything. And Max and Simeon were musicians and Henny and I did yoga. And so
as close as you can get to like
Utopia. It was communal living. And like, I would be in my room and my room was kind of like the chill zone. It was the most organized. It was the neatest. It was kind of the yoga room. And so people would come in my room all of the time. There was no locks on doors. It was just
that sounds so cool. Like, beautiful and creative. And the energy there must have been incredible.
I came back and that's when the podcast happened. It was one of the best times of my life.
Nice. That's amazing.
Yep.
And you want to bring that into like your life, your everyday life.
It would be so amazing if there was like a building in Toronto where like artists like the Chelsea in New York. We were talking about like Patti Smith and just like all the artists that, you know, like went through that space. And you like, I just imagine that the energy there must have been amazing.
So cool. Well, actually in Montreal, there's this place called the Jam House. I'm sure they wouldn't mind me putting it out here. Like it's on St. Dominic, like right off of Duluth in the Plateau. And it was one of the first places I found, and it pretty much is that. It's like, I wouldn't call it a commune because everybody does have their own room. So there's like 30 people that live there at any given time. And it's just like they have jams every Friday. They do yoga on the roof. And it's just like 30 just like either artists or just like people who want to like just live differently.
Yeah.
And you can just go even if you don't live there. They have like a courtyard in it. Like I would go in there and just like play piano in there.
That must be like the most creative time.
Yeah.
Like in an artist's life is like living around other
artists. It's so cool. But then the flip side of that, it's like everything needs balance. Because like I've heard of people living there in other places like that where they almost like aren't productive in any way because it's like it becomes too social and they're like, I wasn't playing piano or like doing anything.
Or like focusing on your own work. You're like focusing on other people's work.
Yeah. I made sure to move like right around the corner from there. So I was like, I have my space, but I can go to the Jam House.
And we talked about this in our Zappa episode, everybody living at the log cabin and all of the silly little bickerings that would go on. Like I remember at the Art House, like Zasha freaking out because Mark ate her craft dinner or something.
It's crazy. It's like The Beach. You know that movie?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just like Utopia, but there's humans
it's
there.
End
so
in murder.
Yeah. I don't know. We're all just trying.
All right.
But that's why the last thing I'll say about the music thing, like it's able to like, and why I like those concerts where it's like everyone's closing their eyes is like everybody has like their ego or like what they want or like success. But music is something that's so like transcends that, and which is so cool. Like there's not that many things in life that are like that. So I don't know. That's like why I love it.
It's nice too. It kind of brings it back to, we also just did an episode on Bob Dylan and like Greenwich Village in the 60s. And
it's pronounced Greenwich.
Is it really?
No, but I made that mistake like too many times on this podcast.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
But yeah, like the folk music scene and how they all, it was like very communal and they shared like songs and if one person found like a new great one, like they wanted everyone to hear it. And it just sounds like such a amazing space to be a part of, whether you're a musician or just like a lover of music, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just so important because to have something that makes you inspired, like above yourself, makes you want to be above yourself and like above your human, like some bad human tendencies. Cause it's like, I feel like everybody's always like, oh, I wish I lived at this time. Or like, I wish, do you guys hear the book Sapiens?
No.
It's intense.
My roommate is reading it right now.
Oh my God. It's the most intense book ever. But like it talks about before that, like it goes through pretty much all of time, but it goes before like agriculture revolution. And when people were foragers, and like the whole time I was reading the book, I was like, I just want to go back to being a forager. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there was shit going on then too.
Yeah.
You know, like childbirth or like people just killing people. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting, though, because he talks about just right away that there was never, like, one way for humans to live. Like, there was peaceful tribes, there was violent tribes, there's monogamous, polygamous, just, like, we're trying to figure out the right way to live, but even though there was never, like, one way.
Yeah. I'm definitely one of those people who, like, romanticizes the past, and
same.
I always, like, wish I could have been there, and that's sort of something, like, with the podcast over time, it's actually been, like, sort of, like, the opposite. Like, I'm now realizing,
really,
like, a lot of these women, like, you think, man, I wish I were with, like, a member of Fleetwood Mac or the Zeppelin, or, and then you hear the, like, the stories of these women, and you're like, wow, that wasn't so great. Like, I definitely would not have liked that, you know? And it is, like, nice in a way. It's like, I can be here right now and be happy with that, you know?
Yeah.
And we've written ourselves into rock and roll history anyways. If you go to our Instagram, there's, like, pictures of, like, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and then us. And then like, trying to get in contact with the people who were there, and then getting their story firsthand and being like, I guess that's as close as you could get, pretty much, in terms of, like, time traveling. So
I'm excited to check out your Wikipedia page.
Hey, we don't have one.
Should have one.
Idea.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You could, like, probably, like, edit Frank Zappa's page and, like, put yourself in there. Yeah.
Oh my God. I wonder if one of our listeners would make us one.
Me too. I actually once tried to make myself a Wikipedia page, but it didn't work. I don't know why. But I'm not very tech savvy, so I think that's. If you guys want to help me too, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Get someone on that.
Well, speaking of tech savvy, that's a good segue.
Yes. We wanted to ask you about your Instagram. Uh-huh. There are two little things that you have written there. One is follow your philosophy, and the other one is that you describe yourself as a fangirl. Mm-hmm. So we'd like you just to elaborate on, like, both of those.
Okay,
although
cool.
Now, talking to you, I'm starting to understand what follow your philosophy probably does mean to you now that we're getting to know each other.
How would you describe it?
Well, I think just talking about how you were saying, like, you don't believe in fate, but you do know, and you are spiritual, you do know that you can carve your path, that you can create what you want, that, you know, all you have to, that your life is like a blank page, and that you're the one who's writing it.
Exactly.
Really? And so I think in terms of what your philosophy is, well, that could be kind of anything, but I think for you it's to give, but to also allow yourself to receive, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Like, I think you get how the workings kind of go. You give, you get, and it can't all be one way, and to receive the world, you must give unto it. So I think that's probably what I'm getting
from
you.
Cool, I'm going to steal your answer. I feel like I just made that, like, a couple years ago. I didn't think about it. That's a great answer. But, like, that is, I think, how I feel about it. It's like, something I love about music too, it's like, it's not harming anyone, you know, like, there's so much, I just feel like the world would be better if, like, everybody did follow their philosophy, if people really, like, listened more to their instinct and their intuition, and really, like, this is coming from, like, I've had, like, an amazing, like, I'm so fortunate, you know what I mean? Obviously, there's people in the world that, like, don't have a choice to do what they love, but if you do, like, there's so many struggles with that, but, like, try, you know? And this, like, I struggle with music all the time. Like, I definitely lose hope in it, or, like, feel like I'm working all the time and, like, not making, like, a living at it yet. And, like, that I'm not even playing music a lot of the time. But, like, I'm so, but what is the alternative? You know what I mean? Yeah.
But and you see your, sorry?
It's okay.
You see your abundance, and you obviously have a gratitude practice, and you are seeing the wealth that you have in terms of you can make your choices of what you want to do. You can live how you want to live, and maybe it's not measuring up yet in terms of, like, what the standard definition of wealth might be. Mm-hmm. But as long as you continue to grow those other things, I believe eventually it's going to all balance out for you. And from what I've heard and what I've read about you and what I'm getting, it's like,
so
I think
it's also just the process.
You're,
like,
on a great track.
It brought me to, like, right now. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really trying to embody all the time, is, like, the process.
It's good to remember too, like, if it's usually, like, the hardest things that are like the most worth, you know, going after. Mm-hmm. If everything came easy, you wouldn't appreciate things the way, you know, you do when you do reach those goals.
It's definitely true. And, like, we were talking about, like, when you guys have been interviewing different, like, celebrities, but, like, all of them like have so much shit too. Like when you end up like reading their Wikipedia page, you're like, oh man.
Yeah.
Like they had to deal with so much stuff.
Yeah, no one has an easy road.
No, and nobody can like plan out everything. Like you can have all the stuff and then it can be taken away from you, or like you lose someone so important.
Mm-hmm. So especially in the arts, there's like, there isn't just like one road. It's not like go to school, get that degree, get that job. It's like, it is about like networking and mm-hmm. finding your place and finding the right people you want to work with. And
that's, I think, the biggest key.
Yeah.
Like you, that was like something I learned really early on with the music thing, because I was like in this little band and I had to break up with them like 3 months in. It was like breaking up with like three guys at once. One of them like understood, one of them like just didn't get it. I hope they're not listening. But like working with people that like fit with you is like, there's no point of doing it another way. It's just going to cause you so much anxiety, or like, it's not going to get you where you want.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Talk about being a fangirl.
Yeah, fangirl.
Okay. That's the best thing to talk about. What's the best when you find like a new band that you love? I feel like as a fangirl, like, I don't want to actually meet any of these people, because then like they are people.
Yeah.
And like, it's so weird. Like when you listen to music, and you're like, I know you. And like, you don't even know me. but like, it's the best feel. I feel like even more before I was in music, I was even more of a fangirl, because like that was my only way. Like that was like where my passion just sort of like sat.
Yeah.
But I'm very much like front row. Want to dance. Like just like want to like get as close as possible.
Music festival to another show. One fangirl, two groupies.
Yeah. Down. Yeah. I could take on being
Night
a groupie.
Okay, yes. Yay! We got someone else.
I have a couple bands in the city that I'm a groupie for. So yes! You guys can turn. Actually, yes. And they're playing. They'll get a shout out here too. So this band called Pudding. They're,
ooh, fun name.
Yeah. They're playing at the Dakota on March 8th. And like, it's a dance party.
I'll put it in my calendar.
Okay. It's so fun. It's like, because you know how Toronto sometimes can be a little bit like reserved and like people aren't dancing when you're like, everybody should be dancing. This is like a night that people like are down on the ground.
This is why like groupies or fangirls, like we have the most fun.
Yeah.
And we inspire the other people to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah. And dance.
Dance. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the first ones
I need to get in touch with my inner fan. Because like going to music festivals is just like, that's the utopia, you know? Just, yes. Like, everybody's, like, very peace and love, and, like, you can just, like, hug people. I love it. Because it's not only about, like, the band, you know? It's, like, about the whole, like, atmosphere.
Yeah. Couldn't have said a bit of myself.
We should watch Almost Famous.
Yeah.
We got a whole night fun now.
Mm-hmm. We've never watched it together, have we?
No, we haven't.
It's so good.
Okay.
Oh, I'm bad at quoting, but there's so many good quotes in that movie.
Have you seen the director's cut?
No.
It's the super long version.
And he's talking over something?
It's like...
Oh, no. Although that's interesting, too.
Yeah.
The director's commentary is what you're thinking
of. It's like 40 minutes added, and it's almost all of, like, Penny Lane.
Yeah. Because a lot of the stuff that they cut out was a lot of, like, Penny Lane stuff. So one of the scenes that they cut out was she had a birthday party.
Cool.
And they go to, like, the radio station. Is that in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
There's there's a longer scene where they're in the room...
At the hotel
where... like they go to the ice room,
okay.
You know, and
yeah, yeah.
She follows him in, and then the jacket goes up on the little door.
Yeah,
but there's a longer scene where he's in there with her.
Interesting.
And telling her about
YouTube.
All the...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just such
it's the best.
She's so good.
I can't watch the theatrical. I still love the theatrical, but the other one, there's just so much more heart in it, because, like, you really get a better sense of her character.
Yeah.
She's so good. I love when she says something, like... whenever I'm feeling lonely, I just like pop on the radio and like spend time with my friends. I don't know what it is. I really butchered it.
No, that's it's pretty close. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's like why people are fangirls.
Pretty close.
Like,
yeah.
That's like when the music, you're like, wow, like I feel like that too. And, like, or like it just, I don't know, when it just hits the spot.
The power of music, when the power hits you. It's like,
one
oh my
good
goodness.
Thing about music, and when it hits, you feel no pain. Is that like,
we can't
thumb,
all be musicians?
Obviously.
That should be your theme song. Like when it starts.
Yeah, we can't all be musicians, but it's nice that there are musicians out there who can capture like exactly what you're feeling at a specific mm-hmm. moment, and you can just like look up that song and be like, oh my god, yes, I'm like, I'm here, I'm right here,
the
right
best.
Now yeah.
Okay, so let's combine this last one
okay.
together.
Do
so
it.
I'm excited.
The song woke up this morning, you did a collaboration.
Yeah.
And so you can correct me if I'm saying the name wrong, because I've only ever read Pineo and Loeb?
Yeah, I think Pineo and Loeb.
Okay, so I've only ever read it. I've not heard the names. And then I saw, okay, it was they're from Halifax. And I went, oh, I wonder what the East Coast connection was. You told me you went to Dalhousie. But then the one thing, and the song is amazing. The video is incredible.
I
read that the song, that it was quoted as, it stands out as a statement of sexual empowerment. So, like, obviously we have to jam on that.
Okay. I didn't write that.
No, somebody did. Somebody did. Well, sorry, I don't know who you are, whoever wrote that. But
sexual empowerment. Because it's so funny, because to me, like, that's not where I came from when I was writing the song. If anything, it was very much just, like, kind of despair of, like, feeling disgust with myself. And, like, not even just about sex, but just, like, so the song is about going home with the wrong person. And, like, just how that can just make you feel awful. But for, like, I think getting it out there was, like, especially making that video and putting that out there was empowering to me, because it's sort of like, there's so many things that, like, aren't talked about that often, and it's like, there's so many, everybody does that. And, like, unless you're, like, in a long-term relationship, like, you are going home with the wrong person quite often, you know? And, like, what else do I want to say about this song? I hope it's empowering. Like, what did you guys get from the video? Like, for me, it was more just, like, trying to figure myself out and, like, why did I do that? Because sometimes it's not even really about, like, the sex. It's more just, like, questioning, like, those two voices in your head. Like, I know my voice was telling me not to. But then, for some reason, that quieter voice, like, got louder.
I think it's really interesting that you came at it from a different way. But there's also, I guess, just, it is, like, a sexual empowerment song. Just for the fact that, like, we're women and, like, we can make these choices. Whether they turn out to, you know, be good choices or bad choices, there are choices. And, you know, we should be able to figure that out on our own.
Yeah. And I also think, I don't know if this answers the question, but, like, you know, like, you're, everybody is so, like, layered, but you have, like, the image that you put out there. And that's why Instagram is so, or, like, social media is so weird, because, like, I'm obviously, like, putting out whatever I want people to see. So for me, it was, like, kind of cool to put out something that was very different from, like, all the other things I put out. And, like, yeah, I can be, like, sweet and come off sometimes as maybe innocent. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, you should see this face.
But
like an angel.
But I don't think that should take away from, like, that I also obviously have sex or, like, or make bad decisions, you know? It's like everybody has all that stuff.
That's good. And yeah, I think the quote is correct.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yay. That's so, that makes me feel good, because, like, I want to empower people through music. So.
And there's layers there. And it's relatable.
And it's hot.
It's hot.
Right? I'm so happy I had two hot on-screen boyfriends.
Oh, I love it.
Non-boyfriend.
No, this is great. And, like, we talk about so much of this kind of stuff in our podcast, and double standards, and about, you know, like, the sexual revolution and women's lib. And so it's just, this is really great.
Yeah. I think that ties into, I don't even know if you need to put this on there, but, like, like, I think it ties into that, because I think a huge part of it is cultural. Like, I don't think that as much guys go home with someone they regret and it bothers them as much. Like, and, like, I guess part of it is, like, that cultural thing. Like, that
he scores every night, but, oh, poor girl, she goes home and it's like, oh, it's just like
a different guy again.
Yeah.
Although my parents had to watch that. That was terrible.
My dad listens to the podcast.
Yeah, cool. So is mine, so.
Enjoy the song.
Yeah. This is who we are. Like, I'm lucky enough, and I know Lynx has said she's lucky enough, that we have families that have never, I have two brothers, you know, mom, dad, they're, like, they listen, they know who I am, they know that I've had multiple relationships at one time, and everybody's just really accepted it, and just been like, that's you, that's what you're doing, and you're happy, and
that's huge.
Didn't like it when I got hurt, but not that that happened a lot, and it was really nice to feel
supported.
It's good
to be open with your life to your family.
Yep.
Yeah, and just, like, on the podcast too, like, there, just to let other people know, like, you can be open about it too, and even if you don't have as understanding a parent, maybe talking about it, like, from here on out will make, you know, it easier for the next generation to talk to their parents about it. So on.
And you can change I think relationships can change, like, with your friends, even, like, because some friends I'm really open with, and some friends it's just like, ooh, I can't talk about that for some reason. Or, like, even my family, like, we're close, but we don't really talk about that kind of stuff. not that I'd want to talk details about that, but like I would like to be more open with my family. And I think that's like a good intention. Also, I have my little keyboard if you want to play a song.
Perfect. So that's exactly where I was going to go. So we can, set up your keyboard and we'll hear a song. And then you can kind of let everybody know where would be a good spot to go and find you and where they can come and watch you play and how they can buy your music.
Okay,
and
well, I'm excited to dance on March
all
8th.
That stuff. Yeah, we're going to do that. And you know what? Like, for the first time, I was out at a bar, and so when I introduced myself or somebody introduced me, they were like, yeah, you're Shanti and from the podcast. Aww. I was like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
So it would be like so wicked if people who are listening who live in Toronto, although it seems like a lot of our listeners are from the U.S., but
yeah,
or cool. from the States, but it would be really cool if like we had Toronto listeners that were like, I'm gonna go to the show because I listened that Avery and Lynx and Shanti are all going to the show, and then they can come and join us and dance with us.
Come on a road trip.
Okay.
I guess I'll sing Woke Up This Morning. Do you guys want to hear that? I could sing a different one.
Sing whatever you want.
There's so many songs I want to sing. Is this good?
Okay. I'm just sorry, I just like almost started losing my mind already.
Perfect. You guys can snap if you want for the beginning. Woke up this morning with his head on my chest. Now I wish that you were better than you were instead. Woke up this morning with an ache in my chest. I wish that I'd woken up with you in my bed. I keep on running away with somebody else. I should have just come over, then you'd know, and I won't wonder about what I didn't say. Watch you walk away from me, I was a fool. Woke up this morning without you. Woke up this morning with his head on my chest. His empty kiss is feeling nothing but the skin on my neck. But tell me, who do I run to now I don't have you? Tell me, who do I run to now I don't have you? I keep on running away with somebody else. Should have just come over, then you'd know, and I won't wonder about what I didn't say. Watch you walk away from me, I was a fool. Woke up this morning without you. Ooh. Woke up this morning without you. Without you, I am who I am. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh my God, your voice is like so soulful and.
Thank you,
you feel it.
Yeah, it's so fun to like get to talk about what you're passionate about.
It's one thing to like watch it online and listen to it, but then to have it in front of you, it's just, oh my God, my heart, and I'm just fangirling out for you.
Yeah. Cool. It's awesome. Meet some fangirls.
House shows.
Like I said, so guys, this is the start of a beautiful friendship. And thank you to Eric for bringing us together.
Shout out to Eric out there.
Thank you so, so much for coming over. This has been an absolute blast.
Thank you guys.
Two new, very happy and dedicated fans.
And we want to say you have an EP.
An EP, yeah.
And tell people where they can go to find that.
It's digital, available everywhere on Spotify, iTunes. And if you don't have that, you can message me and I'll send you a link.
Perfect.
Okay.
So please follow me on Instagram, Avery Florence Music.
Yeah.
We'll put all that down on the page as well.
And yeah. April 4th, I'll see you guys at the Dakota. That's the night I'm playing.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Me neither.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get a band that will make us dance after.
Yeah, beautiful. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So this has been Avery Florence, and we have been Muses and Stuff. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Woo-hoo. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.